So we'll be talking about love for one major reason. You know, February, people always talk about relationships, marriages, dating, sex, congee, you know, congee. Those books are selling now. I saw one man of God said, what a Christian would do with congee. They were buying books. And so those things rain by this time. They have to sell now. 14th is next week Wednesday, Abby. Valentine. But this is what the Lord said to me. He said, guess what? With all the talk about marriages and homes, people are still struggling in their marriages. 2022, January, they recorded 5,000 files of divorce in Abuja alone. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
5,000 files for divorce were submitted in Abuja alone. And the Lord told me, do you know the reason why? Many people are talking about marital love when they don't even know what love is. Many people are interested to hear about emotional love and they don't even know what love is. So he told me, both as a ministry, as a church, you will spend February for the next 2 years teaching about love before you talk about, that's why we have Living and Cleaving Conference, 28th and 29th. He said, before you will spend that, do that conference, talk about love well. People should know what, how God talks about love. Love is a very serious thing. It's very serious. And so, you may be wondering, why is New British Christian Committee taking a whole month to talk about love? Because, number one, we are Christians. We are Christians. And Jesus emphasized love so strongly. Oh my God. It's just that sometimes we can just turn a blind eye, but Jesus emphasized it so seriously. Please, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. And if we are Christians, we have a ministry, we have a responsibility from God to emphasize what Jesus emphasized. We have a responsibility from God to emphasize what Jesus emphasized. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 3, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which according to godliness is proud. So, meaning anything you are teaching that does not stem from what Christ has taught is off. And so, if Christ paid attention in detail to talk about love the way he did, then we also must talk about it the way he did. Praise the Lord. John chapter 13 from verse 34. John 13 from verse 34. On this note, I want to share briefly what I call the love law. Amen. Amen. 1 John 13 from verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Hey, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Are you seeing this? First of all, he called it a new commandment. Now, why the new there? Because there was an old commandment. They had old commandments from the laws of Moses, all those precepts, the 10 commandments in Exodus 20, the 636 commandments from Leviticus. They had a bunch of commandments everywhere. But Jesus is coming to say, you see all of that? I've canceled it and I've given you the new commandment. Wow. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Look at, he's saying, you will love one another the way I have loved you. He's saying the standard of love is the way I have loved you. And he called it a commandment. That's the next thing. He did not call it an option. He called it a commandment. Are you seeing this? He called it a law. A new law or a new commandment or a new rule I've given you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Hey. That you also love one another. Say amen. Verse 35. It says, 1, 2, 3, go. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let me tell you, this is serious. According to this scripture, God is saying, you know, I just talked about, you know, I pay attention to the Holy Spirit power from the way I've talked about these things. You know, we pay attention to these things. But Jesus is saying that the way people will know that you belong to him is not just about that. It is about your love walk. Your love walk. Your love walk. Also, it means we don't have a choice. If you believe in Jesus and you are born again and have received his new life, you have a new commandment to love.
You are under obligation to love. It's a commandment. It's called the love law. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, people have asked me, somebody asked me one time, said, why are you so nice? I said, no, I'm not so nice. I'm loving. And I'm under commandments to be. Praise the Lord. See, people should come around you and look at the graciousness with which you talk and know that, Kai, from whence commence thee? I'm telling you. Some people are just harsh. Who knows what I'm talking about? They will not carry that harshness into marriage. Even to say, honey, the honey will make the person angry. So you, this woman, come here. Another person will say, you, this woman. And from saying the, in fact, from saying it, you will catch anointing. If God is saying that we should love our brethren as commandment, how much more our spouses? Are you guys what I'm saying? That's the problem. We rush to talk about marriage and home and all of that. But even the basic teaching on love, they have not learned. Which by this day shall know that you are my disciples. If you have love one another, say amen.
Amen.
So this is a commandment. It's not optional. It according to Jesus, this new commandment replaces the laws of Moses. Let me show you another one. And you know that it's not the work of Moses that got you saved. It's the work of Christ. It's not the work of Moses that got you born again. It's the work of Christ. It's not the work of Moses that got you filled with the Holy Spirit and into the kingdom of God. It's the work of Christ. That means this is the love for you. You love one another. I want to see this church. I want us to become strong people of love. Not the one that you close service and just go. Bye, 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 bye. Or if it's the guys, after they say, you're bone. Bone. Hey, Alpha. Alpha. James 2 verse 8. He says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Look at this. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go, please. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Meaning, if you, he called the law of love the royal law. That means love is such an important part of God's economy that he called it the royal law. He says, if you don't fulfill that law, you are not doing well. According to Jesus, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you don't, you don't do well. This is serious, so. Now, he called it the royal law. Do you know what this means? It means that if this is the royal law, let me give you a good example. You know those times they give you questions to answer in school and they say number one is compulsory. Then choose any other three. They may give out of 60 marks, that one may be 40 marks. Are you getting me?
Yes.
If you answer any other thing and you don't miss that one, you failed. You still failed. Oh God. That means, according to Jesus, if you get everything right and fail the royal law, you still failed. No matter what you get right, if you get love wrong, everything is wrong. And guess what? No matter what you seem to have gotten wrong, if you are getting the royal law right, you get everything right. Are you with me? Oh, you think I'm making it up? Because God believes that if you keep the law of love, every other law will be kept. God believes if you get the law of love right, every other thing will not be an issue. I'm telling you. Let me show you another verse of the Bible. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse 8. The Bible says, owe no man anything. Okay, let me give you a good example. On this, if you get the law of love right, you'll get everything right. Have you had people argue this argument about tithes? They say, in the Old Testament, we are to be given tithes, and now Jesus has come in the New Testament, there's no more tithes. Has the law been abolished? Yes. Has the Levitical order of priesthood been abolished? Yes. Well, guess what? There are other explanations, but let me talk about love. Guess what? These people in the Old Testament, they have to be coerced to give. Okay, so if you don't give, the devourer will destroy you. And so, the proof that you don't want the devourer to destroy you is that you give 10%. But in the New Testament, the proof that you love God is that you give him everything. You will see somebody finish singing, "I surrender all to you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing." And you're arguing about 10%. You've not given 10. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Imagine if you have a husband or a wife, that is always so picky about what they give to you. You'll get tired. So maybe as a wife, you do this thing in the house where they call budgeting of giving you money for the month. Then, after giving your wife money for the month, that kind of thing, you know, that kind of family setting where the husband gives the wife money for the month, then the wife knows that he still has some extra plenty money. And maybe she just wants a shoe and says, "Honey, can you give me something? I've given you money for the month. What else do you want?" And you come again, you rub his head, you do something, you touch him, you do something, and it's everything. No shaking. You are like, and the boy wants to start asking, "Do you love me?" Are you guys know what I'm saying? Because with love, it's easy. So now, how can you claim you love God and you are holding 10%? When will you give him everything? Are you getting what I'm saying? Lord, I love you. Lord, you are my this, you are my that. I still arguing 10%. I'm not giving 10%. Okay, hold it, please. Keep it. Tie it very well. Keep it. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth hath fulfilled the law." Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
He that loveth has done what?
Verse 9. 1-3.
"For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, that, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now read the next one, verse 10. "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Are you seeing this? Oh, somebody said, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. I broke one. Listen, if you keep the law of love, you keep all of them. Yes. And if you don't keep the law of love, any other thing you thought you got right, you actually failed. If you don't keep the law of love, any other thing you thought you got right, you actually failed. Can I tell you something? This is serious. This is serious. Say after me, "I keep the law of love." Say after me, "I keep the law of love." Say it again, "I keep the law of love." One more verse still on this. Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. Quite a read. Please. Matthew 22, from verse 34. From verse 34. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." Continue with me. The next verse. "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said unto, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Read on. "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 41 to 3 go. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You see that? So, all the law, all the Old Testament, everything is on, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Say after me, "The love law."
The love law.
Now, Another question. Why must love be a law? Because laws explain the system of a place. The laws of a place explain the ideology of a place. See, you can know how a place is by the laws that govern that place. For instance, if you go to a place and maybe you see a snake and you want to kill the snake with your cutlass and everybody says, no, don't kill that snake. And there is a law in this land that nobody kills snakes. You'll be like, ah. What sort of people are these? Are you with me? That law tells you something about them. Or if you go to a place and you see a man calling another man, this is my wife. And you're like, what's going on? Ah, no. It's legally, the law actually says they can get married. You now know that this place is an interesting place, right? Or you go to a place and you now see a wedding ceremony conducted between a dog and a man. What's going on here? The law of that place tells you the kind of people who are there, right? Yes, in the same way, spiritually, the laws given at different dispensations explain the kind of people who are there. Oh my God. So in Matthew chapter 19 from verse 7, I have to be very fast. Matthew 19 verse 7. So let's start from verse 3, please. Matthew 19 from verse 3. They came and met Jesus and asked him, Master, is it lawful for a man? They came to tempt him. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Mark that phrase, for every cause. Because those days, men were they still have that reasoning today. They still have this thing that men are the ones in charge. You can just put your wife away. You get that kind of thing. That if you are not satisfied with her, you can just tell her, pack your load and leave my house. All those Nigerian films. Pack your load and leave my house. Start crying. Oh, I have three children for you. Where will I go? No, times have changed you. He said, pack your load and leave my house. You just see an old man and say, my house is open. Oh, I've seen it before. Yes. Before you say, pack your load and leave my house, you pre-think twice. We will not have that new breed in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Look at Jesus' response. Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Ah. That's a preaching. Say after me, marriage is beautiful. Even if you don't believe, just say it. Marriage is beautiful. He which made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and twain shall be one flesh. Verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Therefore what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Amen. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? So Moses said, you know what, if you don't like this woman, just put a writing of divorcement and put her away. After you've married her, you can still write a letter of divorcement and put her away. Moses actually gave them that law. And said, okay, you can actually do that. Guess Jesus' response, verse 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So, the law was designed to fit in those kind of people. Have you ever seen people say things like this? Does the Bible actually say that smoking is a sin? Does the Bible actually say that drinking is a sin? Does the Bible actually say that? I've had people ask me, my God, Jesus Christ, mommies are interesting. When they say, is it a sin if you just marry more than one woman? Is it really a sin? You know the argument that's been going on? It's really a sin to just... You know what they're trying to say? They're looking for a law to back up the people who they are. Remember I told you, laws reveal the ideology of a people. So they're looking for a law to just support the kind of people they are. Laws reveal systems. Laws reveal ideologies. He just said, see, that law, it was given for people, wicked people like you. Because of the hardness of your hearts. Most of the time, they are putting away that wife so that they can time and have babe. You know one of the things marriage will do to you? I don't think there's any school that will teach you about Christianity as much as marriage. The only school that can teach you Christianity more than marriage is the church. Because the church is God's pillar of truth, right?
Yes,
but marriage, we teach you contentment. Because the woman that you are looking like, my God, if I don't marry you, I will die. 10 years later, you saw another one and say, Jesus, you created. My God. You will not discover that you cannot have all. No, you cannot have all. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yes, sir.
If you eat everything, you will die.
Yes,
if you eat everything that looks beautiful, you will die. If you go away after everything that looks fine, you will die. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. One woman is enough. And everybody is looking at me and say, Pastor David. The only side cheek you can have is on your face. The only side cheek you can have is on your face. Preacher, right? Preacher. You can use side cheek. You know the funny thing? Your natural flesh wants it. So you will not learn discipline to the flesh that way. Oh, many of you know what I'm talking about. You are in a relationship or you are dating somebody, but one day you are just lonely in the night. Then one of that, your old friend just messages you around 11 p.m. You start chatting. It's just nice talking to you. I've missed you. Hey, my God. My God. My God. Hey. Hey. Laquano Malando. you are digging your own grave. So marriage will say, no, stay there. Stay there. You tell the person, okay, so it was nice talking to you. Have a great night. The next night, the person messages you again. You just look at it. You pretend like you don't see it. I'm not talking about you. We know this. We know when it's just a platonic talk and when it's beginning to enter deeper realms. We know. But sometimes we like bad things. It's the flesh that you like it that way. Praise the Lord. So laws reveal who we are. But you see, these people in the Old Testament, they were not born again. They were under darkness. They were depraved. They were descendants of Adam, sinners. And so the laws of Moses was given to manage such kind of people. But in the New Testament, Christ has paid for our sins. He has washed us and made us new creatures. So there is a different kind of law for us. So right now, the new covenant has a different law. Let's read in Jeremiah 31 from verse 31 to 33. Oh my God. You know what I'm doing? It's called treatment. That's why it's called church service. Where you come, they open the bonnet and start servicing. You change the oil. They change the plug. Change the spark plug. When if you are sparking for Baba things, you start sparking for Jesus. Change the spark plug. Change the alternator. You understand? You start thinking properly. You don't be thinking anyhow. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Say, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Everybody read verse 33, 1 to 3, go. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Glory! So now, the reason why love is a law is because right now, the law is not outside us, and we are struggling to keep it. The law of God has been written inside of us.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at Ezekiel 11, verse 19. It says, I will give them one heart, I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. Jump to Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27.
It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stone heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Can we read it 1, 2, 3, go? A new heart will I give you, spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stone heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Glory! Now, look at the pictorial view here in verse 26. It says, I will take away the stony hearts out of their flesh. Do you remember that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone? Do you remember? Do you remember that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone? That was a picture of the heart of the people. And God was saying that this is what I'm trying to do. Even with your stony heart, I'm trying to engraft my laws. Are you following this? But in the New Testament, he takes away the stony heart and gives us the heart of flesh. Now, oh my God. Let me explain the heart of flesh a little bit so you understand what is happening here. Remember the tablet of stone, the Bible says that God wrote it with his finger. So the finger of God wrote the commandments on this tablet of stone, right? Now, if you want to understand what the finger of God means, in Egypt, when Moses was trying to bring out Israel from slavery and all that, he did some miracles and they did not answer him. But there was one he did. When he called down lice and frogs, they said, this is the finger of God. So what is the finger of God? The finger of God is the power of God on display. And what's the power of God on display? The Holy Spirit at work. So the day you get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, the finger of God has come into your heart. And so the Holy Ghost in your heart is actually the finger of God that writes his status and laws inside you. Do you get that? Say after me, the Holy Ghost in my heart is the finger of God in my heart, writing his laws, writing his commandments, writing his will upon my heart. Glory! I like the way someone put it very brilliantly. He says, the Old Testament gives rules. Or the Old Testament was full of regulations, but the New Testament is a regulator. So in the Old Covenant, you are just bombarded with laws and rules to keep. And you will keep on struggling to keep them. But in this New Covenant, the law has become one with you. So when God is telling you, keep the law of love, it's not because you cannot keep it, it's because that's who you are. Are you following this? So right now, because the law of God by the Holy Spirit has been written upon our hearts, we are new creatures so we can love. Say after me, I can love.
I can love.
Say after me, the Holy Ghost in my heart. I want to hear a loud voice. The Holy Ghost in my heart is the finger of God in me, writing his laws, making me love God, making me love others. Glory! Now, because of time, I will explain more. But let me just tell you this and we'll round up. Listen, this implies that love is not hard. For the child of God, let me tell you something. God does not want you struggling to serve him. God wants you enjoying serving him. God wants you to enjoy serving him. That is why he knew that, you see this Old Testament pattern, where we say, do this. They will keep on struggling. Instead, let me bring that whole software and make them the eat. Bring that whole software and put it inside them. And this is the dividing line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, what the people of Israel were struggling to keep has become our nature. Are you with me? Say after me, I can love. I walk in love. I can give. Praise the Lord. I can worship. And I worship. I can live holy. And I live holy. Glory. So this is it. I would have explained more, but Jesus. So you can write this down. What does this imply? Love is not hard. Number two, you can walk in love. And number three, you must walk in love. Romans 5 verse 5. Asabrat. Were you blessed today?
Yes,
Romans 5 verse 5. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Are you seeing this? It's shed abroad. So the Holy Ghost, it's just that some of us, we like to block the pipe where the Holy Ghost is flowing it. So somebody made you angry, and you are trying to keep malice, and the Holy Ghost is just moving you. Don't worry, calm down. Calm down, just. Calm down, just let it flow. You're like, no. I will never let you go. I will never let you go. I will never let you go. Or somebody is getting you angry and you want to react and you can just feel the Lord telling you, shh, just calm down. You can calm down. You see? Our last verse for today. No, this one is sweet. I have to talk. This one is sweet. Please. I know I'll preach for long. Don't be, just forgive me. But this one is sweet. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
James chapter 1, verse 22. Ah! Sabalata kapale katumbra. In a short while, first of all, this place will not be able to take us.
Amen.
The new venue will not be able to take us.
Amen.
Next week, Sunday, invite more people. Drag them. Let them come and hear. Let something, while we are working on a modality for midweek service. Ah, Father, we thank you. We are going to buy buses to be carrying people.
Amen.
More than enough buses. More than enough CNAs. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. It says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Everybody read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh my God. Now, when it says beholding the natural face in a glass, for you to behold your face in a glass is not normal glass. It's a mirror, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a mirror. So, verse 24, 1 to 3, go. For he beholdeth himself. Hey! Ay, 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 ay. Pause. He's saying, for the child of God in Christ Jesus, when you look at the word, you're looking at yourself. For he beholdeth himself. Oh my God. Oh my God. So when you look at the Bible and read, and it says that you walk in love, that is your identity. It's not just a rule or a commandment that is away from you. No, you are made of the word of God. See, the finger of God by the Holy Ghost has been placed inside your heart. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Are you seeing this? So, that means the way to do the word of God is to keep in memory who you are. Who has the word of God said? That means if the word of God has talked about love, I'm a man of love. So how do you keep fulfill the law of love? You acknowledge who you are. So say after me, I'm a woman of love. I'm a man of love. I walk in love. I flow in love. To everyone around me. To my friends, I flow in love. To my parents, I flow in love. Oh, to my spouse, I flow in love.
Glory!
Straightway forget what man of man he was. Now see verse 25. This is where I need you to rejoice. He says, oh my God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Usually laws are not supposed to make people free. Laws make you bound. So when you have a rule or a regulation, it's supposed to say, ah, you would have done this, but the law has said you cannot do it. But this particular law, it makes men free. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty,
glory,
is the law that makes men free.
Yes.
Free from darkness. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the law for free men. And continued daring, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So now, that takes me to the next, this final things. How do you fulfill the law of love? Number one, you acknowledge that it is your identity. You acknowledge that love is your identity. And number two, you exercise yourself. So after you acknowledge that it's your identity, then you exercise yourself. You see it now. It's a doer of the work. So after you say, I'm a man of love, when somebody hurts you and you want to respond, remember, you are a man of love. So you hold yourself. Are you with me? When God is moving you, share what you have with this person. You know, this person that I preached to in the plane.
When he sat beside me, he said, "Do you have internet?" I initially said no. Then he now dawned on me that, wait, oh, my phone can actually do hotspot. And it was in doing hotspot I was able to preach to him. Remember, by this, all men know you are my disciples. I mean, I just said, I don't have internet. No. Some people said, you have Wi-Fi there. Full-blown Wi-Fi like this. And I said, no, I don't want my thing to spoil. Sometimes you are in a position to help people. This one. You see somebody in a position to help somebody. You know that with just one signature, with just one call, you can help the other person. But no, you will demand something. Say, if you don't see me in the hotel room. You know that this person's document, you know that you can help this person. You know that you can, and it's not like the person has done something wrong to you before in the past. You just want to just exact your bossy attitude and just put the person aside. You want the person to lie down and lick your feet and say, see, you're my only help. And sometimes the person will cry, they will say, no, go. That same person will not come and say, Lord, show me mercy. Lord, show me mercy. Oh, 2 days of mercy intervention. Oh God, show me mercy. I speak in parables. But the person, sometimes is your brother in Christ, your beloved friend, that needs help. You have 200,000 stored up somewhere, maybe 1 million stored up somewhere. Somebody close to you, just ask him, please, I just need transport. And it's not like a stranger, maybe you are suspecting something, maybe it's somebody that is very close to you. And you know that, you can just give him 5K and you'll be okay. He will overthink you. You say, no, in this life, you become a philosopher. In this life, you know, in life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you demand. That, you know, you just start saying, no.
You need to work hard.
You know, and God is just looking at you. God is just looking at you. Tell your neighbor, walk in love.
Walk in love.
And the final part of this walk in love is, now that you are love and you exercise yourself in love, exercise it in spreading the gospel. Next week, Sunday, tell somebody, I heard something that I think you should hear. I've been hearing something that I think you should hear. Come and hear what I'm hearing. Stand up on your feet and just thank him. Thank him right now. Bless his name. Exalt him. If you have been blessed, say after me, I walk in love. I fulfill the love. Just bless him right now. Shakatoria pasatal.